Chrissy said this was her fourth work camp. So she has attended one-fifth of all Kenmare work camps. This is our 20th year. Next year will be 21. So I just want to echo what some of the students have said. Thank you for your generous support of work camp that we included in our benevolences, that we help match funds for work campers to go. Not all churches that send students to these work camps are that generous. So thanks to all of you. And we hope to continue work camp. This is something that this message for this morning, I think, is something that has a connection to work camp because it's about a house and building houses. Rather than beginning at verse 1, I'm going to begin at verse 8 of 2 Samuel 7. This is after David has told Nathan that he's going to build a house for the Lord. There's three words that we'll get to in just a moment, three Hebrew words for house, all used in different ways. And Nathan comes back after having received a vision from God and says, no, that's not what's going to happen. And this is the message from the Lord through the prophet Nathan. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares that to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, David's son Solomon, as we all know, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul when I removed him from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. God bless this reading from his word, and to God's name be all honor, thanks, and praise this day and forever. In Agra, the city of Agra, India, there is a house, a building, known as the Taj Mahal. Anyone ever seen the Taj Mahal? Anyone ever been there? Yes, you've been there? No? Okay, I thought maybe that was a work camp trip that I missed, that I didn't get there. Little home improvements on the Taj Mahal. The Taj Mahal means crown palace, and it's actually the most magnificent, fantastic tomb in the world. Here's the story behind it. It was built by a fellow named Shah Jahan, a Mughal emperor, in 1631. And it was in memory of his second wife who died while giving birth to their, get this, 14th child. And he truly loved her. He loved her so much that the Taj Mahal was built as part of his love for her. The Taj Mahal is one of the most amazing palaces built by kings and emperors through the ages. And it seems that when kings go out and fight their battles and they establish their kingdoms, one of the first things they want to do is to build a magnificent palace, often to honor themselves. Well, David was no different. David, the king of Israel, after he had come into Jerusalem, called it the city of David, brought the Ark of the Covenant, as we saw last week, into the city. He wanted to do this very same thing, which he did. And he established a palace. He had a palace of cedar built that was his residence in which he lived. Now, the Ark's presence meant that Jerusalem would be the religious and political capital for David's kingdom. And not only did he build his palace, he wanted to build a house for God in which to place the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant up until this time had only been held in a portable tent called the Tabernacle. This is how the word is used. The word house in Hebrew appears seven times in this passage. In the first place, it means David's palace. In the second place, it means the temple of the Lord that David wants to build in Jerusalem. And in the third place, it means a dynasty. It means the house of David that would last forever. David had defeated his enemies, turned his attention to building his own house of cedar, and he must have felt kind of a sense of guilt, maybe, that he lived in this fantastic home, and yet the Ark of the Covenant continued to reside in a tent. So he wanted to honor God, and he wanted to be a good steward of the gifts that God has given him. So he proposed building this house. And Nathan's first reaction to that was, "The Lord is with you, David. Go right ahead and build this house." However, the Lord spoke to Nathan and corrected that vision. And this is the passage that we have just read today. Again, the first way the word house is used is as a palace where David lived as king. The second way is as a temple where the Lord would reside and be worshiped, and God kind of corrected that vision which David had. And then the third way is a dynasty, a future house of David and for David and all his descendants after him. But the Bible speaks of a house for us too. So just to kind of connect this story with a New Testament passage, 1 Peter 2, which reads, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." What was Peter saying in that part of his letter? The church is the house of God today. And it doesn't exist in any particular building, not even this building that we love. God can't be contained within four walls. God can't be compartmentalized. God is larger than that. The church is a house of faith, which is part of a larger universal house of faith. And Jesus himself speaks of this before his death. In John 14, he says, you'll recognize this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you." So the King James, many of you are learned this as children, the King James says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Mansions, okay, it is heaven, it is in the presence of God, but really rooms and houses is an adequate translation too. Mansions, rooms, houses, it's the fact that Jesus has prepared a place for us, and he's the builder, and he is the host, and it is his Father's house to which we go. It's been 6 years since I went on a work camp trip. I just didn't like the idea of standing on a ladder 3-4 hours a day. My joints aren't really up to that anymore. But When I was going as an adult leader to work camps, the work camp kind of theme song was a song by the group Audio Adrenaline, Christian band, and it was called Big House. Big House. And the words go like this: come and go with me to the Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. So where did they get that idea for that song? They got it from the words of Jesus. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. So we're invited to be part of that house, not only by the words of Jesus, but through the promise of God to David, that David would not only have a palace in which to live, that there would not only be a temple in which the people of God would go and worship, there would be a house of David, a dynasty that lasts forever. And of course, his forever descendant is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.